We've been studying on Sunday morning Bible class for a little while now about worship. And we have covered any number of topics and still have a number that we will be covering in the through the end of April. One of the things that we think about when we are worshiping God, or should be thinking about, is the concept of respect and reverence. We certainly, when we pray or sing, eat the Lord's Supper, whatever we do, we would have respect. We would have reverence. This morning, I would like for us to talk a little bit about those terms and what they should mean to us. Well, first of all, the word respect can be defined as fear, terror, or reverence. Some of the synonyms for it would be words like appreciate, admire, or honor. An antonym would be disregard or dishonor. In the book of Philippians, chapter 2 and verse 12, the word is used, "But work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 11, the text says, "It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." That's our word. Now we stop to think about the idea of respect. Fear. The word originally had to do with fear, terror. Some of you fellas, and maybe some of the ladies as well, go deer hunting. Now you can imagine being in your deer stand, and you've got your rifle, and you're waiting patiently to see that prize rack. And then you hear a little noise and you look down from your stand, and there is a bear that is standing there as big as a Volkswagen. And the first thing you think of, there's no bears like that in Alabama. What's he doing here? Is that what you're going to think? In your mind you're going to say, a bear. So what are you going to do? You've got a rifle, right? You're going to shoot him. That would probably just make him mad. So you're sitting there. What is kind of emotions is going through you? Fear. Terror. But let's think about that just a little bit more. If you're a real macho guy and you have a rifle and you have a knife, you're thinking, I can kill this bear. So what you do is you just reach down and you pat him on the head. Right? No, you don't do that, right? Why? Because you respect him. You know that he has big teeth. You know he has big claws. And you know that if you want to try something silly like that, that you'd be toast. You might even think, I'll pull out my knife and I'll just jump out of this tree on top of him and I'll just whoop that bear. After all, Daniel Boone did that. After all, David did that. But due to your respect and appreciation for what that bear is and what that bear is capable of, terror, fear, appreciation, and respect fill your mind. You get the idea? That's how that word is used in the Bible. There is a sense in which respect has all to do with fear and terror, but it has to do with appreciation and admiration for whomever we're talking about. Now, reverence is a word that we might define as piety, something that is religious or sacred, fear of God, respect. Some synonyms would be high regard or great respect or appreciation. Maybe even an antonym of that would be scorn or not to take seriously. This particular word is used a couple of times in Scripture as well. An example of that would be in Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 21. And the text says, "Be subject to one another in the fear of Christ." In the book of Hebrews chapter 12 and in verse 28. That word is used again. Hebrews 12 and in verse 28. And the text says, "Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe." Now, if you've been paying attention, these two words seem to be almost identical in many respects. The word reverence, if I might illustrate this for you, would be something like your mother's piece of china. And this piece of china, this dish, was your mother's mother and her mother's mother and her mother's mother, and it goes way back to the, you know, Noah's Ark. You know, it goes way back. And this plate is very special. And this plate, your mother has had it setting up in a special place away from all the kids and the grandkids and everything so that they can't, you know, touch it or, you know, damage it or anything like that at all. So what happens is that your mother wants you to take this plate and she wants you to clean it. And so you're carrying it and you take it to a place to set down either at the sink or maybe the cabinet, kitchen cabinet there somewhere. And you're going to clean this dish. How are you going to treat it? How are you going to handle it? With reverence. That's the word. Treating like a piece of fine china. Now, when we put those two words together, when we look at a number of passages in Scripture, we're going to be learning something about the disposition that we have when we talk about respect and reverence for something or someone. All right? Keep those things in mind. Well, first of all, when we talk about holy things, turn in your Bibles to the book of Ezekiel. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 22, and verse 26. Ezekiel, chapter 22, and verse 26. The text says, "Her priests have done violence to my law and have profaned my holy things. They have made no distinction between the holy and the profane, and they have not taught the difference between the unclean and the clean. And they hide their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them." Now, there are several things going on in this text, and it's not my point to cover all of them, but to simply suggest this. In this text, there is made mention of the holy things of God. And when we talk about the idea of holy, we're talking about set apart for God. All right? We might take something, and just as this your mother's fine piece of china, and she would set it apart. And she would set it aside. That's showing a respect, an appreciation, a reverence for it. You set that aside to protect it. Right? Well, God has things that He has set aside that are special, that we are to appreciate. The word holy simply means to set aside or set apart for God. Okay, does that make sense? Holiness is setting apart or to separate from for God. That's holy. Well, these priests were not treating the holy things of God with holiness. And the text specifically says that they did violence to His law. They profaned the holy things. They made no distinction between the holy and the profane. And they taught the did not teach the difference between the clean and the unclean. Now you think about that for a moment. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we have an example of the church treating a holy thing unholy. When the Lord's Supper was being served, when they come together as a church, you remember there in that particular context that there were folks that were bringing their own meals and they were eating separately. They were segregating themselves, and some were even getting drunk. And Paul says, this has got to stop. This is wrong. What were they doing wrong? They were treating something that when they came together as God's people for a holy, respectful reverence to God and eating the Lord's Supper, they were doing something else. They were profaning this holy thing. And therefore, they were making it unclean. You follow me? So when we look at examples about holy things, the Lord's Day would be a holy thing. In Revelation 1, you remember there, John says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. So if it's the Lord's, it's something special, is it not? It's holy. A moment ago, Rocky mentioned Acts 20 and verse 7. Upon the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread, that was something special. You know, if a few of us fellas get together and we go fishing, now that might be special, that might be something good, but it's not in any way comparable to us getting together on the Lord's Day and eating the Lord's Supper. Why? Because that is separate and set apart unto God. And it's something holy that we respect, and we would revere that particular thing. May I suggest to us when we worship, this is not something that is common. This is not something that is ordinary. We're not just sitting here doing a mundane kind of no big deal thing. That's why even when we sit here, we're respectful. We don't sleep. We don't talk. We don't pass notes. We don't do all kinds of crazy things. Take our iPads or iPhones and play Angry Birds or something. We're here to worship God. This is a holy thing. It is set apart for God. That's the intent and purpose, you see. So when we come together to worship, We look at God's Word and how important it is. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, it's a great text that the folks at Thessalonica, they understood the significance of God's Word. The text says, 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 13, "And for this reason we also constantly thank God that when you received from us the Word of God's message, you accepted it not as the Word of men, but for what it really is, the Word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe." You know, this book, this is not just a book. This is the book. This is God's Word. In my library, I've got hundreds of books. And they have some value. They have things in them that I've read through and thought about and so forth. But they are completely different other than this book. Those are words of men. These are the words of God. This is holy. This is to be respected. This is to be revered. Because it is a holy thing of God. You see that? And I think sometimes maybe when we talk about when we come to worship or when we're talking about God, that we just, we think about respect. We think about reverence. But maybe it is not quite as deep a thought, as concentrated a thought, as really we ought to think of it. Again, two examples. Respect. The bear. The intensity of that. The china plate. And you're carrying it. The intensity of that. You're worshiping God. The intensity of that. If we come and we're just so lackadaisical, we're just so laid back and carefree, we may be disrespecting and not revering because we haven't really even stopped to think about it. A way of thinking of this is the respect and reverence we have for authority figures. If you would, think about this particular passage in Psalms 34. It speaks to us, I believe, something that maybe we have not concentrated on as much as maybe we could and as much as we should. But in Psalms 34 in verse 11, this text says, "Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord." Did you know fear has to be taught? A little child and a bear. What does a child see in a bear? Doesn't have any fear. Even older children. If you go somewhere, a hiking trail, maybe in the mountains or something or other, and the trail leads to an opening to look into a valley, and there's a huge cliff that's there. I mean, if you're not watching some children at certain ages, what are they going to be doing? They're going to be standing right up on the edge, and here's just a big drop off. They're going to be standing here looking like, "Wow, this is cool, Dad. Look at this." When we're going to be saying, "Get back from the edge. Don't get so close." Well, what's the problem? They haven't learned fear. You see, fear has to be taught. Respect has to be taught. Reverence has to be taught. I remember sitting in worship services many times as a little kid. And my mother or my father flipping me on the head because I was doing something that they considered to not be respectful or reverent during worship. And one of the things I got thumped more than I can count is that I'd be sitting in church and you hear a commotion in the back and you turn around and look. Does it make you feel uncomfortable when some little kid is, or adult, you're sitting and they're in front of you and they keep turning around and looking? Well, you know something is. You remember the passage Jesus said, you know, once you put your hand to the plow and look back, you're not fit for the kingdom. Remember that? I guess that's where my mom read that. But anyway, the reality is that if somebody is not looking forward and paying attention to what's being said and taught, etc., they're looking back, they're not paying attention. They're not appreciating what's going on. You know what respect and reverence is all about? Well, it has to be taught. Some people have never been taught how you act when you pray. Some people have never been taught how you act when you're eating the Lord's Supper. Some people have never been taught how you act when the Word of God is being taught. So it needs to be taught, does it not? Would that be true of God? We talk about God. And He is great, is He not? When we spend time just talking about who God is, I mean, it's mind-boggling. It's to be able to even begin to comprehend the greatness of God, His awesomeness, His omniscience, His omnipotence. All of those things are just, you can't comprehend it. But that doesn't necessarily, with that knowledge, bring fear and respect and reverence as it ought. You can see something great, but not necessarily fathom it in order to respect it and to appreciate it. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, the text talks about Noah. And it's pretty interesting the way it's worded there in Hebrews 11 and verse 7. The text says, by faith Noah, being warned by God about things yet not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. In reverence. In respect. I don't know what all God had showed Noah. I don't know what all Noah had seen of God. But I do know this. When God spoke to him and said, build an ark in respect and reverence. What are we talking about? Bear? China? He built the ark. There was something that Noah knew that the rest of the world didn't get. Noah didn't build the ark because he didn't have anything else to do. He built the ark out of fear. And you know, when God put him and those animals on that boat, and the text says, and God shut the door, it rained. Do you think Noah and his family had a respect and reverence for God? Government. In Romans 13, we've talked about this not long ago, election time, but just to review and just to say, that remember in that text that rulers are servants of God. Now get your hands around that. Your minds around that. That they are Donald Trump, servant of God. Not exactly in all respects the way we think of servant of God, right? Vladimir Putin, servant of God. That doesn't seem to be just right. But yet, nonetheless, that is the fact. Whatever government, whatever position, servant of God. Now, by that, the text does not suggest that just because they're in a political office that they're or that they're acceptable of God and they're good people. That's not what the text is saying. The point is that we, as God's people, we are to respect and to revere those in public office. Why? Because they are servants of God. Now, they may not be what they ought to be. God will take care of that. What do we do about that? We respect them. We revere them. When you look at a spouse, in 1 Peter chapter 3, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1, the scripture says, in the same way, you wives be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, that they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives, as they observe your chaste and, here's the word, respectful behavior. Here's a woman who is a Christian whose husband is not what he ought to be. He's not a Christian. What's her relationship to him? The text says that she respect him, that she revere him. What's the point? Bear? China plate? The woman says, but he's ornery. He's not God's servant. He doesn't do what's right. That's not yours to judge. God said, if you're the wife, you respect and revere your husband. Period. Verse 5 says, for in this way, in former times, the holy women, who were they? They were holy women. Women who were set apart to the service of God. Here's what holy women do. The text says, holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves being submissive to their own husbands. There is no justification for a woman to say, well, I don't have to be submissive to my husband because he's not a Christian. That is false. The same point. I don't have to pay any attention to Donald Trump because he's not a Christian. That's false. There are things that God has ordained. There are things that God has made holy. And yes, the relationship of a woman to her husband is a holy thing. Do not profane it. Notice in verse 7. You husbands likewise live with your wives in an understanding way as the weaker vessel, since she is a woman, and grant her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. We talked about in Bible class things that hinder our prayers. Here's one for a husband. If he disrespects his wife, if he does not revere his wife, if he does not appreciate his wife, if he does not treat her like a fine piece of china, God says our prayers don't get above the ceiling. So here's a holy thing. You know, the husband-wife relationship is a holy thing. God ordained that. Husbands that can't just decide that when your wife is not doing what you want her to do, that you can treat her disrespectfully. You see, if we're God's people, we respect and revere God, do we not? But we respect and revere government. Why? Because God said so. As husband and wife, we respect and revere each other. Why? Because God said so. The same thing with elders in the church. I've seen brethren who are very disrespectful to elders. They have no appreciation for who they are and what they are and their position. In Hebrews chapter 12, the text teaches us that they keep watch over your souls. Yes, we have to be taught to respect. And elders should receive our respect. They should receive our reverence. And for parents, children can obey their parents but not honor their parents. Do children have to be taught to obey? Do children have to be taught to honor? Some children are not taught either one. And they bring shame to their parents. So this concept of respect and honor has application across the board. But we're to respect and revere one another. Two parables of Jesus that are mentioned. One in the book of Matthew chapter 21. It's the wicked tenant farmers. Remember? There's this vine grower. He has this farm and he rents it out to tenants, and they're taking care of it and so forth. And the owner, he sends some of his slaves. They mistreat them. So forth. He says, finally, I'll send my son. Surely they will respect him. That's our word. Revere him. But they said to themselves, this is the son. If we kill him, then the inheritance, we'll get the farm, so to speak. See, he talked about disrespect. Another parable in Luke chapter 18, the wicked judge. Remember, Jesus said there was a judge who had no respect for others, no respect for man. Now think about that. What is a judge for? Well, Brother Rocky mentioned about justice and how the blind, the scale, the sword. A judge is supposed to be fair and care about what's right. And care about others to grant justice. But this judge didn't care about anybody. And this woman that had all these problems, she kept coming to him, and he was just aggravated by her. He didn't care about her, but because she kept coming and kept coming and kept coming, you know, finally he just said, "Woman, you're wearing me out. I don't care about what's going on, but here, I'm going to do something for you just to get you out of my life, get rid of you." But what was the problem? There was a lack of reverence. There was a lack of respect for a lot of things in that parable. So you see, there's lots in Scripture about respect and about reverence. But we read passages like Ephesians 4 and verse 32 about having compassion for one another. In Colossians 3 and verse 13, forgiveness of one another. When we read in Romans 12 and verse 10 about devotion to one another. And we read in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 11 about encouraging one another. And in 1 John 4 and verse 7 that we love one another. Why is it that we don't forgive each other? Because we don't respect and revere each other. Why is it that we would not encourage each other? Because of the lack of respect and reverence for one another. We might say it this way. Why don't we appreciate one another? Have you ever heard someone say, there's nobody down there at that church that appreciates me or cares anything about me. Well, I could be gone 6 months and they'd never know I was gone. Does that happen? It can. Would it be right? No. What's the problem? An appreciation for that person's soul. You see, the fine china application. Every one of us has a soul. And that soul is the most valuable thing you have. And if any one of us goes astray, do we care that that soul is lost? Respect and appreciation for each soul. Well, when we consider respect and reverence, that's how we're going to be judged. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to be judged of the deeds done in the body, whether good or bad. Now think about that for a moment. I don't have as good a memory as I used to. I know there's several others that are challenged as well with that. But God has a great memory. Every deed, every word, God will judge. You know, maybe I have forgotten what you did 10 years ago. Maybe you have forgotten what I said 2 days ago. But God doesn't forget. Why is that significant? Because what I did 10 years ago, or what I didn't do 10 years ago, what respect or reverence I failed to show, or I did show, God knows. That's how we're going to be judged. So maybe I come to the worship service one day and I am just not here mentally. I'm here physically, but I'm just not here mentally. The text would say, worship Him in spirit and in truth. The spirit was not there. What have I done? Have I not profaned that which is holy? Have I not made that which is clean unclean? Have I not in my own heart, in my own mind, when the Lord's Supper was served, I didn't think about Jesus Christ. I didn't think about His death. I ate the bread. I drank the fruit of the vine. But I was thinking about something else. I'm stressed about a test I'm going to take Monday. I'm stressed about a job I got to go to Monday. I'm stressed about whatever's going to happen next week. And here in the moment when I am before God and to treat Him holy and to treat Him with respect and to treat Him with reverence, I am not here. God remembers that. That's why the text says in Hebrews 10 and verse 31, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. We best respect and reverence Him because He is real. We need to appreciate each other because it is in Matthew 25, the judgment scene. I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was naked and you clothed me. I was in prison and you visited. Remember that? Can we really go such a long time and have no appreciation and no respect for our brothers and sisters in Christ who are in need? Can we just block out of our mind their spiritual needs? Can we just block out of our mind their physical needs? We all readily amen the fact that this is what God wants us to do. Then herein is respect and reverence. Do it. Well, I guess all that could be summed up as our Lord summed it up. Hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Ecclesiastes says, fear God and keep His commandments, right? Jesus said it this way, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. This is the first great commandment with promise. The second is likened to it, love your neighbor as yourself. Because on these two laws hinge all the law. What does that mean? When I see a grizzly bear, I've got some fear and respect and appreciation for those teeth and those claws and that strength and that power. And yes, I'm terrified and respectful. If I carry that piece of fine china, I'm not going to be flippant with it. I'm going to be gentle and I'm going to be respectful. I'm going to appreciate what this means to so many people. I come into this place to worship and to honor my God. This is not where respect and reverence is only here. It's the way I live my life every day. Respect. Reverence. Well, that's what I come to tell you today. I hope that you will think more deeply about the next time you pray, the next time you sing, the next time you eat the Lord's Supper, the next time you talk to your wife, the next time you see your brother and you disagree with him. Just because we disagree doesn't mean gloves are off and everything's go. There is a respect and a reverence that God expects out of us for each other and for Him. You've listened so well. Thank you so much. The song of invitation has been selected. Our brother Ethan will come and lead us in this song. And if you're not a child of God, we would hope and we would pray that you have a great fear for God, a respect for Him, and what that would simply follow. You know you're going to meet Him one day, right? We're all going to meet Him, literally, one day. And we're going to give an account of our life. He remembers what you said. He remembers what you did. And He pleads with us through His Son. Come to Me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. He will give us rest. But you must respect Him. You must revere Him. You need to take it seriously, because it's as serious as a bear. Won't you come as we stand and sing?
Hark the gentle voice of Jesus.